Good morning, Geneva. It's good to be back with you. I'm glad last week you got to hear from Will Baker, hear God's word through him. I'm thankful to be working alongside of him. This brings back some memories, actually. Memories of the early days in COVID. Since at the beginning we were encouraged not to gather inside buildings, after all the students left for the year, we asked Geneva to use this space for our worship services, and it was really nice. We could worship outside and have plenty of people, and it was good. It was good until it reached about 80 degrees, and there was one infamous day where it reached about 82 degrees, and people were dropping like flies and moving upstairs and working on their tan, some of them. I am glad to report that despite all that, I was able to make it through my whole sermon. So to put your fears at rest, I'll make it through today. But it's only 63 degrees right now. I just checked it. It's 63 degrees, which means that although it's cool, you're still feeling the heat. I was sweating while I was sitting out there. And so you just got to embrace it. Sometimes you just got to close your eyes. Sometimes roll up your sleeves, your leg pants, and work on your tan. So embrace it. All right, we've come to the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is all about stopping and resting. We've gone over our finger signs. So the first one, there's only one God, have no other gods. Two, don't build an idol and bow down to it. Three, W for words, don't take God's name in vain. And four is stop and rest. And we'll stop there for today. The summary, the Ten Commandments is a summary of the moral law, which is the definition of right and wrong for all people throughout all of history, for all cultures and all languages. And within this timeless moral summary, we have the command to stop and rest. To stop and rest. It seems like a strange command to be a part of the moral law. Well, the Ten Commandments are actually recorded for us in two different books. First in Exodus, and then about 40 years later in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. And you'll notice that the only substantive change between these two passages, these two records of the Ten Commandments, is the fourth commandment. It's the same command, but it's given for two different reasons. Also, this is a command about the Sabbath day, which in the Old Testament was the seventh day of the week, Saturday. And then in the New Testament, the Sabbath day has become Sunday, which is the day Jesus rose from the dead. It's also referred to as the Lord's Day in the book of Revelation. So now, the first day of the week is the New Testament Sabbath. All right, let's give attention to God's word. In these words, you will find rest. Rest in the Lord, rest for your soul. So listen. Exodus 20, starting verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. And then notice here is the different part from what we read earlier from Deuteronomy. For in 6 days the Lord made the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Since God's word may open our eyes to really find the gift that's found here in the fourth commandment. All right, I want you to imagine that it's your birthday, and it's a great day for you, and I, being your best friend, of course, I want to get you something really, really good, and so I thought and I thought, and I researched and researched, and I asked around, trying to figure out what you would love the most, what you needed the most. And after all that work, I finally found the perfect gift, and I got you the latest, greatest, most expensive computer in the world. Now, I realize that doesn't excite many of you. It doesn't really excite me myself, but, you know, just play along. Let's say that you're a gamer, you play games online all the time, you're also a photographer, a videographer, a musician, a software designer, and this computer is faster, has far more software, more features than your clunky 20-year-old desktop that you've been using. So now you can download any software you want, you can play better games, you can work more efficiently, produce a better final product. It's everything you always wanted, and I knew you needed it because, of course, I'm your best friend. Well, I give it to you, you open it, and pff, your mind is blown. How did you know that I needed this? And I say, well, because I'm your best friend. That's what best friends do. And you open it up, and you get working on it right away, and instantly your life is enhanced in just about every way. You're done with projects just like that. Done. So I leave you alone to let you get acquainted with your computer, and I'm happy that you're happy. Well, after some months pass by, I haven't heard from you for a bit, and so I drop by to check in on you. And when you come to the door, I can immediately tell that something is very wrong. Your hair is frazzled. You smell like you haven't showered in a week or two. It looks like you haven't really slept much. And I say, what happened to you? You said, sorry, I'm behind on my work. I have to get this video done by tonight. I have to edit this wedding video, all the pictures of the wedding. I have this incredibly complex program that's actually due tomorrow, and I'm just frustrated because my computer keeps crashing. It's not working right. It gets bogged down. It's slow. And I stare at you, and I say, what? Your computer's not working right? That can't be. I just got you that computer. And so I walk back into your office, and I see your 20-year-old computer desktop is actually up on your desk, and your new computer, I have to look around for. And I eventually find it, and shockingly enough, I see that you set it on the floor to actually prop up your desk. And I say, what are you doing? Why is this computer that I gave you on the floor... Did it break? Is it not working? And you say, oh, no, it works great, actually. But I really just don't like the color of it. And so I've always needed something to stabilize my desk, and this is the perfect size. And just feel it, like my desk doesn't even wobble. And I just stare at you blankly. Are you serious? You didn't like the color, and so you went back to your old dinosaur of a computer? No wonder you're frustrated with your work. I gave you this gift that's going to make your life easier, more enjoyable, but you're using it to prop up your desk. So I pick it up. I push your old desktop onto the floor so it breaks. And I say, start using your computer. It's going to change your life. And sure enough, it does. Well, today we've come to the fourth commandment. And yes, it is a command, but I want you to think of it more as a gift. Within this command, God knows us far better than we know ourselves, and he knows exactly what you need, what I need. And this God, who is actually our best friend, he gives you a precious gift. And it's the gift of a day to rest from your labors, to gather with the community, and to worship God. This gift is actually going to revolutionize your life. It has the power to change your life, to refresh you, to strengthen you, to make you even more productive, more effective on the other 6 days of the week. But instead of using it and enjoying it for all it's worth, we are so easily tempted to sort of discard it because we just don't like some sort of little feature about it. Well, God knows that you need rest. And if you don't get rest, your life is going to go haywire. You're going to be stressed out, anxious, frustrated, overworked, unfocused. You'll function more like a slave. And all because you stopped using this gift. Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man. That's gifting language. It was a gift given to mankind. Don't squander it, but enjoy it. Use it, delight in it, and it will enhance your life in every way. Delight in the Lord's day. Interestingly enough, the fourth commandment is the longest of all the commands. It splits up nicely into three parts. So we're going to look over these three parts of this command. There's initially just the command, then there's instructions, and then there's reasons. The command, instructions, reasons. So first, the command. There are four words that I want to draw your attention to in this command. Four key words. The first word is remember. Remember. Remember the Sabbath. And that indicates that this isn't something new that God is setting in place just for the people at that time, but this is an old pattern, and it started long ago from the very beginning. God set this pattern during the first day of the week, which he made when he made all things in 6 days, and then he rested on the Sabbath. So remember the Sabbath, which God established from the first day of the week. Second word is observe. Instead of remember, as it's read in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, it says observe the Sabbath day. And this word, Hebrew word, is actually pretty hard for us to translate into one word in English. And the idea is to keep, or to cultivate, or to take care of, or to protect. And so it's the same word that God used when he told Adam to take care of the garden. Keep it. Observe it. Protect it. It also includes this idea of protection, even the protection of God. So Psalm 127 says, it says that God will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Same word. Observe, keep. God keeps our souls, so we're to keep the Sabbath. What this tells us is that this day is a day that needs to be cared for, and because it's always being threatened by invaders. It's invaded by all kinds of intruders. Instead of the Lord's day, it becomes more of a work day or a play day or a sports day or a hobby day or a sleeping day or a catch-up day or a whatever you want to make it day. But it's sort of lost this concept of rest. All these have invaded because we failed to protect it. The third word. So we have remember, observe, or keep, or protect. The third word is the word Sabbath, and Sabbath is the word we just bring that over directly from the Hebrew, and it simply means to rest or to stop. And so you could read this command, remember the stop day or remember the rest day to keep it holy. So very obviously, this is to be a day of rest. God made us to need rest. And that should be pretty obvious, considering we spend one-third of our lifetimes resting, sleeping, or we should be. Probably during college you get a little less than that. But one-third of our lives we spend sleeping because we need rest. So God gives us rest each day, and he gives us rest each week. And then last is the word holy, to keep it holy. And the word holy means to simply set it apart, make it different from the other 6 days. This whole day should feel different from your other 6 days, and not just different, but set apart to the Lord. Of course, the primary way that we make this day holy is by gathering with God's people to worship him. We go to church, we delight in the Lord together, we celebrate what he's done for us. So that's the command. Remember or observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's the command. That's the gift. Now, added to this command are a few instructions, which is helpful because if he just said observe or keep or remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we wouldn't exactly know what to do with that. Just like if I told you to make coffee and you had no idea what coffee was or what a coffee maker is, then you'd need some instructions. This is coffee, and you take it and you put it in the coffee maker and pour some water in there. You know, that's how you make it. So you need some instructions in order to keep the command. So the first instruction is this. Take a break. Take a break. You have 6 days to work, and the reality of life is that you're not going to get all your work done in 6 days. Even if you work really, really hard on those 6 days, there's always more work to be done. But whether or not your work is done, take a break on the Sabbath. Set your work aside and rest. Now, of course, you can't stop all your work. You still have to get dressed. You still have to make a meal. Well, I guess your meals are made for you. That's really nice. Jesus actually highlights the fact that there is some work that still takes place on the Sabbath day. He and his disciples were walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and some of the disciples grabbed some grain fields, plucked some grains from the stalks, and rubbed it in their hands and blew it off and ate it. And the Pharisees were so good at watching, and they said, "He's working.
He's working. I saw him. He just picked that. That's harvesting. And then he rubbed it in your hand. That's threshing the wheat. And then he ate it. I knew you were a bad person, Jesus. Your disciples are working on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, what in the world? You're missing the whole point, guys. It's not a day of restriction. It's not a day where you can't do anything, but it's a day of rest. And his point is that we need to understand the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law. So, for example, getting dressed is actually work. I don't enjoy it so much every day. And it takes work. I mean, I don't just roll out of bed like this. This takes work to put on, you know? But on the Lord's Day, I put in the work to get dressed and get ready because it's appropriate to do. As parents, we still have to take care of our kids on that day. They don't just fend for themselves on the Lord's Day because, you know, I'm off the clock now. No, we still have to take care of our kids, wash dishes, cook food. Of course, again, for you guys, you don't have to do that. This is all a day to, this is a day that we can rest, but we recognize there's things that we still have to do. It's also a day that we can serve people. Jesus showed this by healing the man who had a crippled hand on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees condemned him for it. It's a kind thing to do works of mercy on the Sabbath, and also to do works of necessity. So when God says, don't work, take a break, understand the spirit of the law. Stop working so that you can rest. So that's the first part of the instruction. It's to take a break. Don't work. The second part of the command is to make this day a community event. Make it a community event. The Sabbath, or the command reads this: on the Sabbath you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Back then people lived in communities. And so there was the sort of the master of the community, the head of the community, and he had his family, and then he also had his servants, and he had his visitors, and he also had his livestock and animals. And this command says the whole community is meant to rest. In America, we like to stress the personal aspect of Christianity, and it is personal. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus to be right with God. Well, what's happened is that we so oftentimes stress the personal that it comes at the expense of the community. If you've been saved through the blood of Jesus by faith, then you've been adopted into a family, which is the church, the family of God, and we live in a broader community, and this day is meant to be a day of rest for you and a day of rest for the community. So when you rest on this day, make sure that you're resting in such a way that you make it possible for others to rest. Let your family rest as well. Let your roommate rest. Let your neighbor rest. Let the visitor who's passing through, let him rest as well. Don't just make it a day of rest for you so that everyone else has to wait on you hand and foot. So let the Sabbath day be a day where everyone is encouraged to rest. So that covers the command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then the instructions, take a break from your work and make this a community event. And so in this world with endless work, God's given us this gift of rest. But so oftentimes we toss it aside because we feel like we don't need it. Well, this leads us to the reasons for this command. This is where the two different versions of the command differ. They give us different reasons why we should keep this day. First, it says in Exodus, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because in 6 days the Lord your God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. God created the world in 6 days, and then he rested. Why did God rest? Was he tired? Of course not. So why did he rest? There is only one reason why he rested, and he did so to make a pattern for us, because although he doesn't need rest, he knows we do need rest. First reason why you should keep the Sabbath is because you need it. You were made to rest. It's amazing that children are so oblivious to the fact that they're tired. There were times when our 3-year-old girl was, you know, melting down, and everything was with a whine or a complaint, and mom says, it sounds like it's time for a nap. And what does she do? She burst into tears. She said, no, I'm not tired. I don't want to take a nap. It's funny because it's she's so oblivious to the obvious. But yeah, how oftentimes we can mimic a three-year-old. How often are our lives flustered and frenzied and tense and anxious, and we're overwhelmed and overworked and over-socialized, and God says, here, take this day and rest. You need it. And we say, no, I'm not tired, and I have more things to do, and there isn't more time. I need more time to do this, and if I don't do this now, I'm going to miss out on that activity. And I have a test tomorrow, and I have two projects due. I don't have time to rest. And for a variety of reasons, we just sort of toss it aside. You know, there was a time in the life of Israel when Jeroboam II was reigning as king, and under the hand of God, there was a power shift in the world powers. And it benefited Israel, and it led to an era of great prosperity, the kind they hadn't seen for over 200 years. It brought all kinds of opportunity to the land, to the country, to make money, to develop business, and to trade. And during that time, people dreaded the Sabbath because they had to stop. And they're like, I have all these opportunities to make money, but I have to stop. Like, when's the Sabbath going to be over? Let's get this day going. So like a two-year-old, they're whining about taking a nap, and they whined about the Sabbath, and they're like, hey, time is money. We need to get back to work. Well, God said, you're made to rest, which is why he built it into the week of creation, so don't whine about it like a three-year-old, but rather enjoy the gift. It's a gift that you need. You know you need it. Take it. Well, this raises an important question. Why would God create us to rest? Like I said, we sleep away one-third of our lives. That's a lot. And on top of that, he gives us a whole day of the week to rest. So why didn't God just make us stronger so we could, I could get so much more done if I didn't have to sleep? Well, he made us this way, this need to rest so much, so that we're regularly reminded of our dependence upon him. When you rest as a Christian, you're ultimately entrusting your life into God's good care. And so every night you go to sleep, and there's more work to do. You say, as it says in Psalm 3, I lay down and slept. I slept in peace because the Lord is keeping me and protecting me and providing for me. And so instead of frantic work, you sleep knowing God will provide. And so he made us to rest as a demonstration of our faith in God. He's keeping you. You can rest. He's providing for you. You can rest. One of the best decisions, I made lots of bad decisions in college, but one of the best decisions I made was to set aside my homework on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, to rest and to worship and to take a nap. I definitely needed to recover from the week of short nights, and I could do it all without feeling guilty because it was a gift from God, and God's gift lets you do that. So I encourage you, work hard those 6 days, and then on that seventh day, that first day of the week, the Lord's day, rest, trusting God with the outcome. If you learn to do this, I guarantee you'll treasure it as a gift. So that's the first reason. Keep the Sabbath because you need it. Second reason why we should keep the Sabbath is, and this is what we'll finish with here today. Second reason why you should keep the Sabbath is because you are a slave no more. You're a slave no more. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 5. It says to keep the Sabbath day holy because you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you keep the Sabbath day. God gave you the Sabbath as a reminder that you are no longer a slave. Back in Egypt, the Israelites had to work every day of the week. They didn't get a day off because they were slaves. Slaves don't rest. The powerful enslaved the weak, made the weak work all the time. That was a way of life back then. And when God set them free, he said, keep my Sabbath, take a break, rest as a reminder that you're not a slave anymore. What this encourages us to do is that we're to take this Sabbath, this gift, to celebrate all that God has done for us. You were a slave to Satan. Enslaved by your own passions, controlled by the opinions of the world. You are slaves to the idols of approval and money and power and lust and affection and on and on. But through faith in Christ, You've been set free. He went to the cross and he delivered you from all your slave masters. He killed your slave masters so that you're a slave no more. There are all kinds of forces that threaten to enslave you today. And so you listen to me. Listen to me now. If you're in Christ, you are not a slave any longer to the thoughts and opinions of those around you. You are not a slave to success. You are not a slave to education. You're not a slave to grades. You're not a slave to work. You're not a slave to fear. You're not a slave to sin or to Satan or to the world or to anyone else or anything else. Because in Jesus, you have been set free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. God has now given you, as a free person, He's given you the Sabbath day to celebrate the freedom that you have in Christ. You're not a slave anymore. You know, there are lots of reasons that people come up with why they don't observe the Lord's Day. And perhaps you have reasons of your own why you don't, and they might be pretty articulate and thoughtful. But the truth is, it's just a reason to go back to a life of slavery. Jesus has set you free. You're not a slave. Celebrate your freedom by setting it aside and resting on the Lord's Day, this great gift. So that's the fourth commandment. It's a command, yes, but it's a gift from your best friend, the Lord God, who knows exactly what you need. He says, remember the Sabbath day because you need it, and remember the Sabbath day because you're not a slave anymore. Jesus died and rose again. And through him, we are set free. Celebrate your freedom by remembering the Sabbath day. Take a break and rest and celebrate. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, this wonderful gift that you've blessed us with, a day to rest and to celebrate what you've done for us. Help us to use this gift to the fullest extent. Don't let us toss it aside like we so easily do at times, but let it bring calm and order to our lives, and let us be filled with peace, and let us all the more learn to find our rest in you. Thank you for giving us what we need. We ask this all in Jesus our Lord. Amen.